Hi, I'm Nancy Dufresne. Welcome to our podcast channel. We know you'll be blessed by today's message.
Glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify, we glorify, we glorify. We thank you, Jesus. We glorify you. Hallelujah. Just lift up your hands again and lift up your voice and worship Him. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We glorify you. We glorify. We glorify. We glorify. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Singers, y'all can go ahead and be seated. Last night, after I finished up my part of ministering, and I was just walking to the side and letting Miss Cindy lead us in song, God spoke something to me. He said, tomorrow night, teach on righteousness. And then Brother Joel got up this morning and taught on righteousness. And I said, thank God we're in the flow. The Father longs most for one thing. He longed for family. And He paid everything to have a family. And you were the purchase for the family. Yeah. Open adoption. Not a closed adoption. Now everybody knows who you belong to. Amen. His great longing was for fellowship with family. The purpose of righteousness is fellowship with God. Because without righteousness, there could be no fellowship.
That's right. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
There's so much connected with righteousness, but it's all pointing to this great flow of our life, that our life be one of ongoing living in the presence of God.
Yes.
I was talking to someone, precious, precious person, and they had gone through a big transition in their life. And they said, Pastor Nancy, the only time I'm really, really peaceful is when that anointing is on me and I'm preaching. And I said, thank God for that time.
Yeah. Yes.
But I said, don't settle for that. Because what God intended was that we walk with Him every day. And I said to this minister, when the sermon is done, the fellowship isn't done. This is what God has been emphasizing with me, is we're not just stepping in and out of His presence. And I'm talking, His presence is always in us, but it's about us learning to acknowledge His presence.
Amen. Amen.
What makes the difference between those who have a nominal walk as a Christian, meaning they receive a minimal, and then those who walk full-faced with God? What's the difference? One thing, acknowledgement. Acknowledge Him in all your ways and He will direct your path. Notice this. What we're acknowledging is what's directing us.
Amen.
Whether it's Him that we're acknowledging, then Him directs us. If our body is what we're acknowledging, then our body directs us. If it's fear we acknowledge, it's fear that directs us. If it's healing that we acknowledge, then healing is our flow.
Amen.
if the past is what we acknowledge, then our past robs us of our future. What we acknowledge is what's governing us, leading us, directing us, and coloring every single day of our life. We can acknowledge Him every day. Every day. This is our great assignment, is to practice acknowledging the one we want to direct us. If you don't like what's flowing, change what's directing you. How do you change what's directing you? Change what you're acknowledging.
Amen.
That is the only difference between the nominal believer who receives very little and struggles very much in life. And those who walk full face with God, acknowledging. You get up and you turn toward Him. You acknowledge Him. Righteousness means there's nothing that can stop us from acknowledging Him. Not our past, not what somebody did to us, not the home we were raised in, not the family difficulties that might have been around us. But it's all based on what we choose. We are no longer living by chance. We're living by choice. What we choose every day. What we choose every day. What we choose every day. Righteousness. If you missed this morning, you've got, they'll post it online. I don't know. Is it posted online? You must go watch that. Because I don't have the time to lay again so skillfully what He laid. But I brought Brother Joel something, because it's really important that he have it. I just need you to know. His out there is a pirated copy. This is the genuine. I just want you to know. These are anointed. The one you have at home is a little bit risky.
Sign this book for him.
But this morning he laid out. Laid out. What stood out so much to me when he said Jesus, who had never sinned, was made sin. Us who had never been righteous, made righteous. So why do we think that we're trying to be righteous now, since we never could, apart from Him making us that way? Sin consciousness is always the enemy pointing back to who you are in the flesh, to rob you of walking with God. That's all it is. That's what sin consciousness, the purpose of it is. The accuser of the brethren, always working sin consciousness, trying to pump that into you. One of the greatest strategies the enemy uses against us, especially in our prayer time, is you go to pray, and especially pray in tongues, because this wonderful flow of speaking in tongues bypasses your mind. God is, the genius of God is He involves you and bypasses you. He uses, feels, facilitates your spirit, and leaves your mind totally out of it. So what the enemy tries to do is occupy your mind while God is bypassing it. If God is bypassing it, don't you employ it. He bypassed it for a reason. Because He knows that if the mind is left to acknowledge the wrong thing, that it will affect what he can do through our spirits. So while you're praying in other tongues, the devil is so busy reminding you, remember what you did? Remember how, maybe you've missed God in this. Maybe you're not clean in this. You aren't walking in love, and you'll start reaching back in years past. What is that? The accuser of the brethren making you sin conscious. Why? So that you don't go further in your fellowship with God.
Right.
And that past working like corralling you in. Really, humanity knows little about this word righteousness. And so we don't think it's that big of a deal. But there is no fellowship with God apart from it. There's no walking with God apart from it. It has to be majored on in the life of the believer, not treated as a side issue. If I were to say, we're going to have a conference on the anointing and the power of God, brother, people would sign up. But if we were to say, we're going to teach on righteousness, they would go, oh. But without it, it doesn't matter what the anointing does through you. Because the anointing can flow through you and you be unchanged. We have, how do I say it? A four-legged creature that the anointing came on and spoke to the prophet to check his madness. But after that, a moment of anointing was over, that animal was still that same animal. Thank God, I don't minimize the anointing, and I'm not making light of it, but it's righteousness that causes you to live different every day. So that people don't come to a church service and just enjoy the presence of God and then go walk out and live tormented, live troubled, live pushed around. It's a lack of understanding of righteousness. And if you want, if you say, I want to walk with God, then you better major in this. You better major in this, because this is your, what's the word called? Your breastplate of righteousness. What does a breastplate, when they would at a time of battle, what did they wear the breastplate for? To cover the vital organs. What's this mean? Righteousness is a vital organ in the life of the believer. It's vital. They didn't call it the breastplate. You know, it wasn't the shield for the leg. You can lose a leg and still live. You can't lose a vital organ and still live. You can't walk ignorant of the vital organ of righteousness in the inheritance of the believer. And walk in the way God has for you to walk.
Amen.
And for Abraham, it was accounted unto him as righteousness. Not accounted to him as anointing. Everything he did with God came out of righteousness by faith. By faith, not because you feel righteous, not because you performed righteously, not because you were raised in a righteous home, but it's all by faith. I'm right with God based on not me. The accuser of the brethren is always trying to get you stuck on you.
That's right.
Because if he can get you there and focus there and acknowledging there, then God can't take you further than you.
That's right. Amen.
Righteousness takes you off of you and puts you on him, Jesus, what he did.
It is so key that we learn to have righteousness mentality.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
That when the accuser speaks, we answer him based on who we are in Christ.
Yes.
In Christ is our righteousness. Our righteousness is who we are in him.
Yes. Yes.
Every poor self-image is answered in Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Every single person, every believer should walk free from a poor self-image, because what they're doing, they're exalting what they think of them above what Jesus did for them.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Amen.
That's true.
None of us look good outside him. None of us.
None of us.
I don't care how successful your business has been or anything else.
Yeah.
We are absolute failures outside of Christ.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Amen.
So when we're trying to feel good about ourselves,
right?
You can't dress up the old man and make him any better.
No, no.
Amen.
The old man was worthy of one thing: being crucified, buried.
Yes.
Yes.
And raised a new man.
Yes.
A new man. All of this is by faith. I love what Brother Joel was saying this morning. Your mind can't process this, but you live there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Jesus said to me, because I was repenting to him a period ago, oh, we're just missing it in the same place. I was just missing it. And I said, God, I know you have to be so tired of hearing me repent of this over the same place, because I'm tired of repenting over the same thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Not some great, deep, dark sin, but just in my walk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, with God. And after a few moments, I had just taken time and just had a conversation with God about it. And then I picked up one of Dad Hagen's books and sat down, and I was reading. I was reading about 5 minutes, and on the inside of me, I had a sense, get on your knees. And the moment my knees touched the floor, Jesus stood there. And he said, you have failed many, many times, but I never have. So I share my success with you. What is that? Come to him based on your success in him, not based on your failure in you. If you start every prayer with repenting over how bad you messed up, well, I know I'm not this, I feel bad about this, you're sin conscious.
Amen.
Now, don't misunderstand me. If we miss it, we should repent. But every prayer should not start with a repentance. Either we're praying too little, we're only praying at the time of repentance. Right?
Yes.
There is that.
Yes.
But when every time we start with talking about what we're not, we drive sin consciousness further and further into our image of ourselves instead of our image in him.
Right. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. I have 13 pages here. Let me see where we want to land in 13 pages. I don't know. But somewhere in here is something of a landing spot. I'm really actually looking for a certain scripture, so forgive me while I go through it. This is no big deal, because really, when I go to Jesus the Healer, when I go to film a week, I go in with at least 70 pages. So that's 20 episodes I do. So I'm just a paper carrier. Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Word. If it weren't for the Word, we wouldn't know these things. I said, if it weren't for the Word, we wouldn't know these things. That your walk with God is based on fellowship.
Yes.
Of understanding who you are in Him.
Amen.
In Him.
Amen.
In
Amen.
Him.
Amen.
In Him. Think about this. Adam and Eve. It tells us when they were in the Garden of Eden before their eviction date. Mm-hmm. They received an eviction notice. Yeah. Angels delivered it.
Yes. Get out.
And get out and don't come back.
And don't come back.
before that day, God would come down in the cool of the day and fellowship with them. Why? Because he had now given them authority over the earth. And he did not just say, give them authority and then just go do it. No, he wanted them to walk in their authority based on what came out of him. So he would come down and fellowship with them so that they would exercise their authority based on his mind, his wisdom, his goodness, his genius. And he would come down and fellowship with them so they became, they could partake of the way he thought, the way he loved, the way he operated, and then they could replicate that here. And then earth would look like heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That was what God intended with giving them authority, not so they can go rogue with their authority. But so that they could implement what they learned from him in that place and time of fellowship when he came down. Then they were to implement that flow on the earth. And you say, wow, that would be great. The only thing is, he came to this realm and fellowshiped with them on their level. We have a better covenant.
Amen. Amen.
Now we're made righteous so we can go to his realm. Hear in there. See in there. That's how Jesus lived. I only say what I hear my Father. He heard another realm. He heard another realm. He heard another realm that only righteous can access. It only righteousness can access his realm. Jesus said, I'm the door, huh? Come in. Come in. And it's righteousness that causes us to be positioned. Righteousness is not a feeling, it's a position. It's a position raised and seated with Christ. It's our position of righteousness.
Amen.
Amen. So now there's something different, not just God coming to us and fellowshipping, but now because of righteousness, we can go to his realm. What's that mean? Move with him at his flow instead of us trying to bring him down to our flow. Sin consciousness is human flow. Righteousness is God flow.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
So
hallelujah. Anybody else cold in here? Yes. It's freezing, y'all. I don't know who my thermostat monitors are, but recognize when it's cold without me having to help you. Amen. Isaiah 54.
Amen.
Verse 13. Say thank you, Pastor Nancy, for keeping us warm.
Yeah.
There's nothing more worse than you're just, unless it's you're so hot, you're sleeping, no. Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 13. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Now, he's not just talking about here to parents and children. It includes that. But we're his children.
Yes.
All thy children, look at this, shall be taught. You better get to a place where you're taught. You better get to a place where you're taught. Why? Because your peace is connected to it. When people are struggling with peace, get to a place where you can be taught. Because it's lack of teaching that is keeping you in a place of you're susceptible to something that's stealing your peace.
Yes.
And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. Well, the Lord's teaching me, yes, but he's teaching you primarily, number one, through the Word, through the Holy Spirit, but through a pastor.
Yes.
Through divine connections in your life. If we don't have those, we're going to lack peace.
Amen.
Amen.
Very good.
That's good.
Verse 14, in righteousness shalt thou be established. Look at that. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Notice this, you can have something but not be established in it.
Yeah. Yes. Amen.
Yes. And that's what he's talking about. New covenant, we are made righteous, but you have to establish that as your flow, as your lifestyle, as governing your thinking, as governing your actions. You bring it to your prayer time. Because it's not enough to possess it. We have to be a partaker of what we possess. Amen. We must be established in righteousness. God made us righteous, but we are the ones who build that truth in us through the teaching. Amen. You have to be taught this. Why? Because righteousness isn't a feeling. You can't feel it. It's a truth that you have to be taught. And if people just are going to walk by, I feel the Lord today. Well, just wait about 15 minutes. You're going to feel something less. And that's why people's fellowship with God will do this. And because they're walking by feeling instead of by faith that they are righteous. That means that when we don't feel righteous, we don't back down from that place of fellowship, because righteousness is not a feeling, it's a position.
Amen.
Verse 14, in righteousness shalt thou be established. No one can establish it in you but you with the help of the Holy Ghost. You have to put yourself in a place of meditating and feeding on who I am in Him, who I am in here. What that will do, that means your conversation will change. And if our conversation isn't changing, we're not establishing the right thing in us.
Amen. Amen.
Meaning this, we're redeemed from rehearsing the past. We're redeemed from talking about the relationship gone wrong, the business lost, the difficulties of the past. If we're going to establish ourselves in righteousness, the conversation must change. The dinner conversation must change. Regurgitating the past is digging up the truth out of your own heart to where it's not producing anything. It's not growing anything productive. Amen.
Amen.
And, well, praise the Lord. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Now, look at this. We like these next phrases. Thou shalt be far from oppression. Far from it. You're not in proximity. It couldn't reach you if it tried. You're inaccessible to it. You're so far from it. It can't reach you. For thou shalt not fear. Yeah. Yet so many are entrenched in fear. Believers. I don't make light of that, but that's wrong living. That's wrong. That's the wrong way to live. It's the wrong way to live. God told me when we started Jesus the Healer, the daily broadcast, He said, I want you to start teaching on the mind. And I am so grateful that He directed us that way. For the first 80 episodes is nothing but on the mind. And there is still the number one thing people contact us about is the mind. They said, we've never heard. We've had people write, precious people, and said, I never knew that I had control over what went on in my mind. I thought that whatever came to my mind, I had to cope with. We're not called to cope. We're called to rule and reign. Not cope, rule and reign. I'm not coping with fear. I'm not coping with depression. And if you go the mental route to where a psychological approach, they'll teach you to cope because they don't know anything else what to do. But righteousness doesn't cope. Righteousness rules and reigns.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Amen.
For thou shalt not fear. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and thou shalt be far from terror. For it shall not come near me. Behold, they shall surely gather together. What shall gather together? Oppression, fear, terror. They shall gather together. They'll join forces with each other. Why? To launch an attack. They shall surely gather together, but not by me. In other words, they're not on assignment for me. Don't think I'm using fear to teach you something. Don't you think I'm using fear to pay you back? Oppression and all kinds of hardship to give you your dose of what you gave out. They shall gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Meaning when they gather together and try to show up at your door, they're to fall for your sake. Why? Because I'm righteous and I've been taught that I'm righteous.
Yes. Amen.
And I don't put up with terror and fear and depression and troubled mind. Don't put up with it.
No. Amen.
Why? Because those that are taught are walking in peace. That's what verse 13 says. Righteousness is a peace flow.
Yes.
How do we know whether or not we're walking in our righteousness? How peaceful are you? You're walking in the degree of righteousness based on your degree of peace. What's this mean? We can all go further. We can all establish more and more in us. Dr. Lester Summerall, my husband, he was a pastor to us for 15 years. My husband had a very close relationship with him during those years. Dr. Summerall would arrive at a foreign country because he was an apostle to the world. I mean, it just everywhere. And he would come off of a commercial flight, landing in a foreign country. As he's coming off, before he comes off the jetway, he said, I'd stop and say, Satan, I'm here. And I'm taking over. Righteousness. Not because I have performed well in ministry, but because of my position. It was so established in him that he believed that nations were ruled by his words when he arrived. It was so established in him. Your pastor can only teach this to you. He can't establish it in you.
That's right. Amen.
I can only teach it to you. I can't establish it in you. How do you establish it in you? You meditate on it. You meditate on it. When fear comes, say, no, you don't. No, you don't. When fear, you're not going to have enough money. Oh, don't even try. Don't even. You answer it. You have to practice your righteousness every day. Every day. Why? Because built into your righteousness is your authority to rule and reign. Right with God. Not because you have done everything right, but because Jesus did everything right. And that's what Jesus said to me that day when he stood in front of me. He said, you have failed many, many times, but I never have. So I share my success with you. How did he do that? He made us righteous.
Yes, yes.
I don't have to earn it.
Yeah.
Right.
But I do have to become a greater and greater partaker of it.
Yes.
And produce the fruits of that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Notice this. Until we establish ourselves in righteousness, the rest of the verse doesn't belong to us.
Right.
We want to be far from oppression, far from fear, far from terror. But that's for those who establish themselves in righteousness.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Most mental difficulties that Christians are dealing with is a righteousness issue.
That's right.
Why? Because when you're righteous, fear's no issue.
Yeah.
When you've established that in you, you don't put up with stuff.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Hallelujah. Romans 14 and verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not just something this natural realm shows you. It's not natural. But it's righteousness. And peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's a spiritual flow. It's a spiritual flow. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. Now, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are two different things. Right. Yeah. Kingdom of heaven's a location.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The kingdom of God is a government to govern you. A flow.
Yeah. That's good.
A flow of how the kingdom of heaven operates in the earth.
Amen.
In you.
Amen.
That we live days of heaven on earth. Mm-hmm. You have to flow with the kingdom of God to live days of heaven on earth.
Yeah. Amen.
Because you're facilitating the flow of another realm and bringing it to this realm.
Amen.
Yes, yes.
It's not weird. It's what God assigned for us.
Yeah. Amen.
Right.
Amen.
For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness.
Righteousness.
Peace and joy. Look at this. In the Holy Ghost. And I like saying it this way. And this is the flow of the Holy Ghost. If people can spend a lot of time praying in other tongues, a lot of time praying in the Spirit, which is one of our privileges.
Yes. Yes.
Absolute privilege.
That's right.
But people can do that, get up from that place and walk away and be troubled.
Right.
They're out of the flow of the Holy Ghost. I don't care how long they prayed in tongues.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
You understand what I just said?
Yes.
If you're troubled in your mind, you're out of the flow of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
So what's that mean? We're running out troubling. Why? Because we're going to stay in the flow that God is moving in.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Righteousness, peace, and joy. I don't think that order is random.
Right.
I think it's very purposeful.
Right.
Let's look at the end of it. Joy. Righteousness, peace, joy. Look at the end of it. Joy. There's no joy without peace.
Right.
And there's no peace without righteousness. Your peace and joy hinges on your righteousness. It's connected to your righteousness. Of you knowing my past is gone. My faults and failures are no longer directing my life, coloring and clouding my future. The blood of Jesus dealt with my past. And it's the blood that bought my righteousness. What's this mean? Live as though you never missed it. Talk as though you never missed it. Believe God as though you never missed it.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Follow Him as though you never missed it. Get up every morning and have fellowship with Him as though you never missed it.
Yes.
As though you never walked out of fellowship.
Yes.
As though nothing was ever lost in your fellowship. As though nothing was ever compromised. You just get up and act like you never missed it.
Yes.
Because you're operating from your position of righteousness when you do that, not your feeling of it. Why do people not launch out in a particular day turning toward God, acknowledging Him, walking with Him that day because of how they feel?
Yeah. Right.
Because of how they feel.
Yeah.
Because of how they feel.
Yeah.
They're waiting to feel something. When you're positioned, you don't have to feel it. Will you feel it? You should. But it's not governed by the feeling of it. It's all governed by the position of it.
Yes. Amen.
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 If we, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, it's conditional. It's conditional. If we confess our sin, this is talking to the believer, not the unbeliever. Why? Because the unbeliever could not even remember all his sins enough to confess them.
Come on.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What? He cleanses us from the wrong flow. Unrighteousness is not our flow. He cleanses us from the wrong flow. We stepped out of our flow and we stepped into a lower flow when we sinned. Yes. So we confess that, and what do? We step back into the flow of righteousness, our position. And we reaffirm that we are established in righteousness.
Amen.
We reaffirm that. And it is faith that stands up and says, I'm forgiven. The moment I confess,
Yes.
Once you miss it and you confess that, you repent of that, how long should you feel bad? How long should righteousness feel bad? How long? A couple days?
No.
A couple weeks? Well, bless God, if he comes around me, I'll certainly remind him what he did to me. If you want the devil to be done using your past against you, you have to be done using others' past against them. You have to. You have to. That means you can't talk about it again the next time you see him. You can't breathe hard at the next family gathering. When you see him and you start breathing hard. Hard breathing is offering you something, further establishment. Because it is a great act of faith for you to stand up and say, thank you for forgiving me because I confessed it and the blood of Jesus cleanses me. And now I am full-footed in the flow of righteousness. Here we go, Father. I just love you today. And you just step right back in. Instead of taking days and weeks of wandering and staying out of church and feeling bad about showing back up at church because I've missed it, that's a lack of knowing you have been made righteous. A wavering walk means a lack of the establishing of righteousness. Amen.
Amen.
And we believe that by faith. We believe we're righteous by faith, not by feeling, not by any circumstance, but by faith. Amen.
Amen.
What is it worth it to you to be free from oppression, to be free from fear, to be free from terror? Is it worth the time to build into your own spirit the truth? I am already made righteous. I don't have to pray long enough to earn it. I don't have to read my Bible long enough to earn it. I am righteous. And because I'm righteous, I read my Bible to find out how a righteous one lives. I pray to take my place that righteousness gave me. And how many times we have put a law on our fellowship with God. And when we did not measure up to the law, it killed that fellowship that day, so to speak. Don't ever turn your fellowship into a law, because the letter of the law kills. Turn it into a flow. A flow. A flow. Not a law. Have goals. Absolutely have goals. Don't turn them into laws. Because if you don't measure up to your law, you're going to have to deal with that law talking to you. You didn't pray long enough today. You didn't read your Bible long enough. You're giving the devil something to accuse you with. God did not base your righteousness on something of your works. You're righteous because you were made that positionally. You didn't earn it through your prayer life. You didn't earn it through your Bible reading.
Amen.
And I am not diminishing prayer and Bible reading, but that's what people associate their righteousness with. that I'm more righteous if I read my Bible. I'm more righteous if I... Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not belittling these acts. These are spiritual flows that are to make up our day. But once you understand and establish your righteousness, you start talking to God all day long. Yes. Instead of throwing it into a corner for 20 minutes of your day.
Amen.
It's hot now. It's hot now. Okay. That means you'll have to regulate it, okay? Don't turn it off and leave it off. Did you hear him? Oh, Lord. Our righteousness doesn't fluctuate, so why would we take... Why would we take a spiritual activity and fluctuate our walk with God based on an act? We walk with Him because we're made right. His nature is in us. We have His nature is in us, divine nature in us. Amen. The kingdom of God is righteousness. If you're having a joy problem, a peace problem, it's a righteousness problem. Righteousness cannot be treated like a side issue. It can't be treated like a big philosophical word that only the pastor dives into.
That's right.
Amen. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17. Isaiah chapter 32 in verse 17. Isaiah 32 verse 17, and the work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. What's that mean? The struggle is gone in your life. The struggle is gone. The struggle is gone. Struggling is a result of righteousness not having its effect in our life.
Amen.
Struggling with our finances. Struggling in our marriage, struggling with our boss, struggling with the will of God, the plan of God we're digging with us about, struggling with what He's told us to do. All of this stems from not being established as we ought to be in righteousness. Amen. The struggle with self is answered in this verse. Amen. I want to read something to you that E.W. Kenyon wrote. He said, to most of us, what we were before we found Christ so dominates our minds, so rules us that we forget what we are now in Him. We belittle our redemption and we magnify our failures. We let our weakness be ever with us. We have forgotten that He is ever with us. If we would persistently fix our thoughts upon what we are in Christ and what Christ is doing for us at the right hand of the Father, it would lift us out of all weakness and failure into His strength. And we know this, that we're told this scripture, set your mind on things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Now it makes sense what I read to you last night of E.W. Kenyon. He stated this, as our minds are renewed, the devil's no longer a problem to us. As we establish that we're the righteousness of God, nothing causes us to step back and be overwhelmed. We overwhelm. We overwhelm opposition. Why? Because positionally, for that opposition to take us on, it has to take God on.
Right.
And that's what David ran at Goliath with. Yes. You're taking on God. You're not taking on this little teenager with a slingshot. You're taking on God.
Yes.
And he told him that. He says, "You uncircumcised Philistine." What's that mean? You covetous.
Right.
Uh-huh. You have no covenant. You have no covenant.
Yeah.
You have no covenant.
Yeah.
Meaning this, the biggest thing you got going for you is you.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
The biggest thing I got going for me is the God of my covenant.
Yes.
Well, if a teenager could get it.
Yes.
Come on. A teenager. Help us.
How did he get it? He meditated on it.
Yeah.
As a shepherd boy, he's singing. He's singing righteousness into his consciousness. He's singing his covenant into his daily life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We know this. Let me just quote it to you. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. God is putting a timeline on the end of condemnation in your life. Now. He put a timeline on the end of it. Now. That's the end of it. Meaning, don't talk to me about it anymore. Quit talking about it at dinner. Quit using that as your meditation food of where you missed it, what you're not, what somebody did to you. Listen, that gets so old.
It does. Yes. Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. The Amplified Classic Translation. If you have that, I'd follow along with me in that. If you don't, maybe you just want to listen because it's going to read differently. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, the Amplified Classic. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up definite, special petitions. Notice this. The more accurately you live in faith, the more specific you get with it. He made definite requests, not general. The more general faith is, the longer it's going to take for something to happen for you.
Amen. Amen.
Why? Because our faith, the more skillful we are, the more specific we are. Pay attention with God. I mean, even in creation, he didn't just walk out and just say, "Everything be." Everything I want, get there. You know what I want, get there. Hurry up about it. Why is this taking so long, Holy Spirit? He walked out, and over every day, he was specific. He was specific. He was specific. Do you know why you're here tonight? Because you got specific. You could not drive your car here just randomly. There's a street. Let's take that one. I like the color of the lights at that intersection. Let's go there. Better yet, I like the restaurant at that intersection. Let's go there. No. When we drove from our home to here or from work to here, we were specific. We got on a specific road. And can I hope that you got in a specific car? Not a random one.
Right?
And can I say this? You're presentable tonight because you got specific.
True.
You put on certain clothes.
Yes. Yes. Right.
Pastor Ruby, was it you that was with me at the airport?
Yeah.
She knows what I'm talking about. We walked up, and before you can even get to the security line, they would have a point where they check to see that you even have a boarding pass to even get to security line. This guy decided luggage wasn't necessary and wore everything he needed for days.
What? Yes, yes.
Me You're too true story.
She said it, true story. He had layers and layers of clothes on. He had long pants with shorts over them. He had on tennis shoes with flip-flops over them. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He had on a beanie hat with visor hats on top and other multiple visor hats. He had his underwear hanging out his pockets. Yes? Yes, he did. Excuse me, I probably shouldn't have said that online. His undergarments. He was a sight to behold. Security said, "Do you have a ticket?" He couldn't find it. So he starts unloading everything. He had a pile of clothes and still couldn't find it. And they said, "You're not passing this point." Yes. That's what general believing gives you. It can come up to the point of need and can't load. Specific. When they saw him not specific, they saw someone not safe. They escorted him, because I'm saying to her, surely he's not on our plane. Surely. And if he is on our plane, surely they will stop him before he's on there, because that's not sound. I'm not making fun of him. I'm showing you unsoundness looks like it's random.
Come on.
When you know who you are, you walk different. Everything is purposeful. You live accurate. You speak accurate. You think accurate. And you make everything in your life reflect that accuracy. When you understand you're established in righteousness, I only permit righteous thoughts. Righteous words. Right? Praise the Lord. Did I tell you Hebrews 5, 7, Amplified Classic? Yes. Pastor Ruby got me off.
Yes, Pastor.
Hebrews 5, 7, Amplified Classic. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up definite. That's what I was pointing out. Yeah. He was so skilled that everything was definite, specific. Definite special petitions for that which he not only wanted but needed, and supplications with strong crying and tears to him who was always able, always able, always able to save him out from death. And he was heard because of his reverence toward God, his godly fear, his piety. I have just filmed, I don't know how many episodes, I think maybe 20, on miracles and reverence. Wow. You can't separate them. Can't separate it.
Awesome.
Can't separate it. Because people want miracles, then there's a certain approach to that.
Exactly.
There's a certain attitude.
Yeah.
There's a certain behavior. Amen.
Amen.
So he was heard because of his reverence toward God. Do you know, growing up, I was raised in a denominational church, Precious People, but we weren't taught about being born again. I didn't know you need to be born again, but I loved God. I reverenced God. I talked to him, and he spoke back. But I always heard him out here. Why? Because he wasn't in here. When he talked to me, it was though he was standing right there and I would converse with him. Why? Out of reverence. Anyone who reverences God. Anyone who reverences God, he'll make sure they know him.
Amen.
Do they get to bypass the born again experience?
No.
But he'll bring them to it.
Amen.
He was heard because of his reverence. Even when you don't know some things, even if you're not sure how to approach God about something, if you'll do it reverently, you'll get an audience with Him. Amen. He was heard because of His reverence toward God. And when I talk about reverence, I'm not talking about the way we hold our body. Reverence toward God is reverencing His Word, reverencing His Spirit. What about this? Following how He's leading us. Yeah. That's an act of reverence.
Yeah. Yeah.
To disobey is an act of irreverence.
Yeah.
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 So he was heard because of his reverence toward God, his godly fear, his piety. Look at this. In that he shrank from the horrors of separation from the bright presence of the Father. When did that happen? When he was made sin.
Yeah. That's right.
Because sin cannot fellowship with God.
That's right.
And he shrank from. He had never been outside the fellowship of his Father.
Right.
Every day. It's what led him. It's what governed him. It's what directed. It's how he knew how to answer things. It came out of that place of fellowship. Righteousness, the highest purpose is for fellowship. And not only that, everything else to that is bumped up to it. Healing, victory, prosperity is all joined. Because whenever Abraham, it was counted to him for righteousness, everything changed in his life. When you establish that you are the righteousness of God, you'll recognize everything was changed. I need to move with that change. It's not that when you're established that things start changing. They were changed all along and you didn't know it. But when you establish it in you, you start seeing what that change looks like. And you stop putting up with what's not of that change.
Amen.
He shrank from the horrors of separation. Amen. This is what sin consciousness tries to do to you. Drive you out of that daily communion with the Father. But God offers you, wake up with Him.
Yeah.
Talk to Him.
Yes.
Drive your car with Him.
Yes.
He's in you.
Yes.
He's with you.
Yes.
You know, I was back in the back room and somebody said to Dad Hagen, they said, you know, you say God inhabits our praises, but he said, God inhabits us.
Yes.
And Brother Hagen didn't answer and I thought, well, Brother Hagen's being kind. Because He does inhabit us, but He also inhabits our praises.
Right.
All of it.
Right.
Yeah. Everything that was a blessing under the old covenant,
yeah,
we didn't get redeemed from.
That's right.
We still have. God was with them. He's in us, but He's still with us too. We got it all. We got it all. In and with. In and with. In and with. That everywhere we go, there's an awareness. People recognize.
Yeah.
Right? E.W. Kenyon said this, the joy of the Christian life is this, fellowship with the Father. We are in fellowship with Him. Excuse me, when we are in fellowship with Him. What's that mean when we're acknowledging Him? When we are in fellowship with Him, our faith flows to flood tide. When we are out of fellowship, faith shrinks and is enfeebled. Fellowship is maintained through the Word and the intercession of Jesus. He is our advocate at the right hand of the Father. But this is what I wanted to get to. The believer should be continually confessing his righteousness and his fellowship in Christ.
Amen.
How do you live? Righteous-minded, you talk it. You talk it. You talk it. I'm right with Him. The blood did that for me. The blood did that for me. The blood did that for me. That's why money's no struggle for me. That's why provision is no struggle for me. Because I'm right with everything that God's provided.
Amen.
Are you helped tonight? You are. If you're born again, you are right with Him. Protect that flow. Magnify that which cost Jesus everything for you to have. instead of magnifying where we've missed it and what we've done wrong, magnify that His blood put it back as though we never missed it. Amen. Stand with me to your feet tonight. Father, we thank You tonight. For the Lord is good. And His mercy endures forever. For the Lord is good. And His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. I know this, that most of us who are in this place tonight, we're in fellowship with God in the sense of He's our Savior. We've received Him as that. We've received Him as the Lord of our life, but I don't want to assume or presume that everyone in here has done that. So we want to give you that opportunity with every head bowed and every eye closed in this place tonight. And you say, Pastor Nancy, I want that peace that you talked about. I want that life free from fear. I want to have what heaven planned for my life. Jesus is the door into that. All you have to do, you have to know this. The world has a Savior. It's just our job to tell them, you've already got a Savior. All you have to do is turn toward Him, acknowledge Him, receive Him as your Savior. So if you're here tonight and you say, Pastor Nancy, I've never done that. I don't remember a day that I've ever called on the name of the Lord. You know, it's not just about going to church. We should go to church, but that's not what saves us. That helps us to grow up spiritually. It helps us to obey God, helps us to know our place in Christ. But you have to be born again. And the Word tells us how to do that. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's so easy. It's so easy. So tonight we want to give you that opportunity. If there's somebody in here and you say, Pastor Nancy, I don't remember a day that I called on the name of the Lord to receive Jesus as my Savior, then you need to be praying this. Or if you say, I'm not sure, maybe I am, maybe I'm not, well, you need to be sure. Because when you're born again, the Spirit of God bears witness. You know you're born again. Or you say, Pastor Nancy, I'm like the scripture you referred to, out of fellowship with God, but if I confess my sin, that He's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I want to do that. Or you just say, I want to come back into right fellowship with the Father. If that's you, raise your hand. Any of those calls, just raise your hand high and let us know so we can pray with you, because we don't want to assume or presume. Hallelujah. Back here, I see a hand over here. Hallelujah. Anybody else that you're here tonight and you say, would you pray with me? I want to receive all that God has for me. I want to walk free tonight. I want to walk free tonight. I'm going to ask that young man. I can see his hand back there. If you would come up, can I pray with you personally? I would love to do that personally. And you say, well, that's me. I want to come up. Come on up. It's not too late. It's not too late. How are you doing? What's your name?
Jacob.
We're so glad you're here tonight, Jacob. And it's not a mistake. It's not by accident. It's by plan.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So I want you to pray along. Jacob, would you just raise your hands as a sign? I'm receiving what God has. Congregation, Jacob is going to repeat these words after me. You say it with us. Would you say, Father, I thank You for sending Jesus to take my place and pay the price of my sin so that I could come into right fellowship with You. I receive You, Jesus, as my Savior. I receive You as my Lord. And I'll live for You all the days of my life. Now God is my Father. Jesus is my Lord. I'm a child of God now. I'm cleansed by the blood. The past is gone. It's all forgiven. And I start a brand new life today in Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jacob. Thank you. Hallelujah. Do we have something in materials? Right over here. See this gal right here? We just have some gifts we want to get to you to teach you what happened to you tonight. Hallelujah. Isn't the Lord good? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You tonight. We thank You.
We trust you've enjoyed this message. Visit us at DufresneMinistries.org to learn of our upcoming meetings, share your testimony, become a partner, or visit our online store. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Dufresne Ministries.